Blog Talk Radio.
...of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Elite Fruit of Islam, to help us to...
to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it?
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, White death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Black power, black power, black power. Brothers and sisters, it's a soldier in arms, comrade in battle. Sean Saddam Kweli, and I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. This is always a privilege, it's always a joy, I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio, that great official world-renowned international broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And I give thanks on another Monday night for all of us coming together and being able to have these powwows and being able to have these fireside chats and being able to come together and talk about the issues that ill affect or affect our community, and also to offer some solutions and strategies to the things that affect us in a real way. And we give thanks to the God of our people, our forefathers and foremothers. We give thanks and we bear witness regardless of land, label, or language. There's only but one divine regenerative force. And we appreciate that and give honor in the masculine and feminine expression. And we know that whether you use the name Akulu Kulu, whether you use the name Yemen Yah, whether you say Obachala or Ashun or Ogun, Asa or Aset, whether you saying Haru, whether you saying Yeshua, whether you saying Allah, or whether you saying Lord God Almighty, or if you believe in the tribal tradition of just sticking one finger up in the air, giving thanks to that mighty one God, we give thanks. If you're using Jah or Jah Rastafari, or whatever your expression, we bear witness to you and we give thanks to that one God. And of course, we're thankful for all of those who became our great ancestors, our old great ancestors, and the mothers and fathers of civilization who were the architects of this world and this civilization, and who were the first people on this planet, and the first people in the light of the sun. We give thanks to them, and thanks to their wisdom and their glory and their greatness. And we give thanks to their divinity and their beauty. We give thanks to their blackness and their melanated beings. And we give thanks that we are able to descend and ascend from such a great, spiritual, beautiful people, such as what we have called the original people. Some who say the aboriginal man, aboriginal woman, the African man, the African woman, whatever the labeled term is, we are the first, the beginning, and if there is an end, we would be the end of that, but there's no end in sight for the black man and black woman. So we give thanks to that, and we give thanks to the warriors that came from amongst our people, who in a blip in time, when we were captured momentarily, some of our people captured and taken westward to build up a nation that was not our own, strangers in the land that was not ours. And we give thanks that even though we had lost our names and lost our language and lost our culture and lost our folkways and forays, that we were able to be brought back to ourselves through divine intervention. Some say divine revelation, divine revolution. We were able to be brought back by the greats like Nat Turner and the greats like Harriet Tubman and the greats like Denmark Vesey and the greats like Sojourner Truth and the greats like Ida B. Wells and the greats who come amongst us and fought for our liberation and salvation, those who spawned off into other organizations like the great UNIA or the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We're giving thanks to Prophet Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam, and giving thanks to those great revolutionary vehicles and the greats that were produced from that, talking about the great fiery firebrand of black nationalism, Minister Malcolm X, and all those who picked up his spirit and pushed forward, like the great Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and the greats from the Honorable Kwame Ture and Lowndes County, or what they call Bloody Lowndes, Lowndes County, Alabama, and the Black Panther Party or the Freedom Organization there, and those who fought with the Black Liberation Army, like Brother Daruba Bin Wahad, and the other brothers and sisters, like Jaleel Muntakeen, and the great freedom fighters, Sister Asada Shakur, and those who we give thanks for. We say Ashe, and Panther salute to you all. Those who are living, who are still here, say Ashe for those who have made their spiritual transition or physical transition from amongst us. But we're thankful on Black Power Radio and happy, and thankful for your presence. We're thankful that we were able to restart the movement in 1989 after we were hit with what's known as Reaganomics from a brutal battle with COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program of the United States, when the FBI assaulted the various black leaderships and organizations and put a special emphasis on the Panther and worked to remove the Panther leadership and the Panther strongholds and the Panther programs and the Panther activism and warrior spirit. And when the Panther was almost what seemed like to be decimated in America, as we had lost our warrior comrade, Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton in 1989, and he was unable to restart the Panther movement. He was killed, or assassinated, more correctly, assassinated by Tyrone Robinson, a low-level member of the BGF, and some issues with that situation where they took him out over General Comrade George Jackson and all kind of things that happened, the infighting that happened amongst the Panthers and other black organizations and the black nationalists versus the cultural nationalists and all that that took place over a period of some years. We're thankful that we were able to survive and thrive and restart in 1989 in Dallas, Texas, with the will and spirit of a local producer, radio producer there, who wanted to organize and reorganize that fighting spirit and tradition and knew that just because that the Panther had officially disbanded by the early 80s, that the struggle continues. And like our comrades say in Africa, they say a lutta continua, which means the struggle continues. Or as the great scholar warrior, Dr. Baba John Henry Clark, taught us, that when your warriors go down, that you can bury the man or woman, or you continue to plan. Or like the great Argentine-Cuban revolutionary Ernesto Che Guevara taught, that he didn't care if he fell in battle as long as someone picked up his weapon and kept fighting. So in that same spirit, 1989, a bold black man from Dallas, Texas, reorganized the movement, and another bold black man out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, reorganized the movement, and those two came together, one known as Michael McGee, from an alderman from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who formed the Black Panther Militia, and another one from Dallas, Texas, that radio producer known as Aaron Michaels, who restarted that black power movement towards the Black Pantherism in America. And then a bold, bald-headed black man who had already had college training, coming up out of Dillard University and Pepperdine, and was an accelerated student and a star athlete, football player and basketball and all kind of athletics that he had with him, along with him being a high school debate student, a black man who used to preach to the cars as the cars rolled past through the streets, and sometimes you'd say, as you'd see him on the highways, he's a natural orator and a natural speaker. And he would preach to them because his destiny would be to be a preacher and a warner and a freedom fighter for the black man and black woman. And he became known later as the Black Power General. He went through courses of training in a military unit of the Nation of Islam called the Fruit of Islam under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam, and later to go through a controversial phase where he had to be removed from posts as he held all them posts, had all that training as lieutenant and captain and minister and regional minister and national assistant, all the way up to be the second in command of the organization as supreme captain. And then by the time he was put out, I'm kind of moving fast for you here, as Minister Malcolm say, talking fast, a lot to get over to you. But as he had become put out of the organization, and there was an assassination attempt on his life by a no good bastard named James Best in Riverside, California, in 1994, he was able to link up with some what we call some black guardian angels who came to his aid. And that same upstart from 89 with Aaron Michaels, they came together with him through the help and grace of our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. They joined forces and linked up, and he became the national chairman at that time in late 97, early 98. And his name is the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, whose legacy and foundation that we stand on, whose blood, sweat, and tears that we stand on and push forward with, as he took that small Black Power base, or took that small Panther base, and then put the spirit of Black Power in the movement, revitalizing that spirit that came up out of the South from Mukasa Ricks, formerly known as Willie Ricks, and then moving down into Kwame Ture or Stokely Carmichael, took that spirit and put that spirit into the youth, had a series of million youth marches and a series of think tanks and a series of activist moves, challenges to the Jasper Sheriff's Department, nose-to-nose, and armed maneuvers against the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis over the Dragon of James Byrd and Brother Amadou Diallo, and stood toe-to-toe with the school board council for calling black children niggers, the N-word as they call it now. And so his legacy is concrete. He made his physical transition from amongst us in 2001. And from 2001, another black man picked up the banner who was a cub of his and a student of his who come up out of the Los Angeles area. And he himself moving to Washington, D.C. to join Howard University and becoming a Howard University law student and going into law but being an activist on campus and forming a group called Unity Nation. And taking that Unity Nation and shocking the world with the conference called the Black Holocaust Conference. And he brung in people like the great Tony Martin, Ashe, and brung in the great Steve Coakley, Ashe, and brung in Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Father Leonard Jeffries, who is still alive and with us, but I salute him and I'm thankful for that warrior scholar, and brung in the Honorable Khalid Muhammad, Ashe. And they shook up the world, hitting C-SPAN like a blaze of fire. And they would begin to go all around the world talking about the African Holocaust, as the so-called Jews would continue to talk about the Holocaust that they experienced under Hitler. But there was very little to none attention paid to the Holocaust that happened to the African man and the African woman that continues to this day to the African man and woman in America. And so we're thankful to a man who became known as the Attorney at War, and he carried that title from 2001 in the spirit of Attorney Alton Maddox on into late last year of 2013. But I changed that title. Even though Attorney at War is correct, I know for a fact that this black man is a soldier in the battle, but he is a five-star general. And so I say he is the Attorney General. He's the black nation's Attorney General. And you know, we know Eric Holder has his position in white America and in America, but we're talking about the black nation for black people, black laws for black people, talking about the Attorney General. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and he had worked with a brother who has staying together and put the base and the legs underneath this movement to where we would not only be talking about revolutionary activity, we would not only be agitating against the enemies of our people and our rise, fighting against racist and hateful, spiteful, brutal police in the streets. We would not only be moving against the those who would pimp our people and be bloodsuckers to our people, but that we would also have an economic base. And he himself having worldwide connections and international connections and being known, being a mover and a shaker, coming from Dallas, Texas with his think tank called MIAT, the Metropolitan African American Think Tank, as they would begin to find the facts on what was really happening to our people, what was happening with the real statistics and how to solve and strategize the issue, not waiting for some white university to give us the stats on our people or try to solve our problems. But they came together in Dallas, Texas. Something about that Dallas came together in Dallas, Texas to strategize over our people's plight. 400 years of physical servitude and mental and spiritual servitude as a total here in America. And they began to work hard, him and some other scholars, and would hook up with the Honorable Khalid Muhammad and later would become his national assistant. And at the same time, when the assassination attempt took place on the Black Power General, the assassination attempt took place on him as well in Riverside, California, as he was shot at the same time that the Black Power General was shot. And he would be the one who, at the right time, would have to be that man to carry not one pistol, but he'd tell you two pistols at times, and be there guarding the life of the general, looking out for any would-be assassin, anybody who would try to hurt that black God-sent man. And so he would move and shake along with the general up and down the highways and byways and would be that one who was fortunate enough to drive the Black Power General to the very last engagement that he was able to do on this earth there in Harlem, New York, called Enough Negro Stuff, Revolution is the Only Solution. You can see that on YouTube. He was right there, suited and booted. They would stop at a gas station or a truck stop, more correctly, accurately, historically correct. They stopped at a truck stop and would iron their uniform. I'm talking about the Honorable Khalid Muhammad and Minister Hashim and Zinga. They would iron their uniforms there at the truck stop and move on out and go on into the engagement. And so it's that kind of blessing and that kind of warrior and that kind of soldier that is your national chairman in the new Black Panther Party. And we give thanks and we're happy to be able to serve and to help and to move with our national chairman, the General Hashim Nzinga. And this is, if it's your first time, this is Black Power Radio. And I know that in 2014, Black Power may not be politically what you all call, some call politically correct in white America. But in talking about black nationalism and what we heard the great Honorable Minister Malcolm X in the beginning talking about, what a revolution is and how the revolution was always fought for land. Revolution meaning complete constructive change. It's fought for land. And as you, as an African in America, a black man and black woman, a descendant of an African slave, you in America, that if you're not focused on having territory of your own here or elsewhere, or land of your own here or elsewhere, you're not focused on a real revolution. And so we have to talk about having our own and not being beggars and not being consumers and not being slothful and weak to that which is righteous to us. We must have something to call our own. And so on Black Power Radio, we must infuse you with the spirit, the will, and the desire to rise up and do for self, and to take charge for self, and to take hold of your own life, and to push for self-determination. The mission of Black Power Radio is to let the light go off in your head, to turn the light on in your head. Whether you call yourself, I don't care if you call yourself conscious, if you call yourself awakened, whatever you call yourself, if you are Christian, Muslim, if you're Hebrew, if you're Rasta or agnostic, if you're 5% nation of God and earth, make no difference if you're Buddhist or if you're just whatever, a person who studies creation and the sciences. You must turn the light on in 2014. And so in order to do that, we must analyze the educational paradigm of our people. And we must look at what we're being taught and what we're being fed. I don't just mean from grade school, like first to high school. I'm talking about as grown adults, what we're being fed and what we're nursing on as a people. What is it that we are talking about in our conversation? What are the programs that we're watching on a daily and consistent basis? What is the radio that we're listening to, the programming apparatus that we're listening to? As we know, as we study science, we understand the effects of subliminal messaging. And there's enough information out there for you to know that television has subliminal messaging in it, and that the radio has subliminal messaging in it. I can remember as a young boy hearing about people spinning the records backwards, and that they would say that if you spin the records backwards, some of you super youngsters ain't gonna know nothing about this, but we're talking about those of you that know what I'm talking about. If you spin the record backwards, they say that the record would play a message from the devil, they say. Well, so that sounds real spooky, but there's some facts to some of that, that if you hit certain wavelengths and hit certain tracks and all this, that they do have certain programming or computer programming or technology that can insert messages into the computer. I mean, pardon me, into the record, into the song, into the instrumentation, and make you want to feel certain ways and be certain ways and think certain things. For example, you can go on the computer and look up how they'll put advertisements in the movies while you're in the movie theater. And every couple of seconds, it'll be a quick flash of a product that they want you to buy. And so you're sitting there, and you start all of a sudden feeling thirsty. Or you start getting hungry, and you say, well, I want to go get some popcorn. I didn't get no popcorn before I came in. Or you might say, I want to go and, you know, get something to drink. And you're thinking all the time that it's just because you famished, you haven't eaten, you haven't drinking. But it's because there is a programming that is put in the movie that you're watching and oftentimes put into the radio that we're listening to. And so we're talking about, and we must talk about, controlling the educational paradigm of our people, because what is clear is that there is an educational process that has happened to our people that ill affects our community. That means that if you can go to any community in America, whether you're up north, whether you're in the west, whether you're in the east, whether you're in the midwest or down south, you can go to anywhere where they call it the black community, which is a misnomer nowadays, but where the areas are predominantly populated by black people, and you can find what they call the ghetto. And normally the ghettos, what they call the ghettos of America, normally have, they almost always have the same setup. And you'll always go to an area and find a young black male and females congregated out on the corner, out there listening to certain types of music, normally congregated around the alcohol depot or the liquor store, you know, normally there to purchase certain brands of cigars and certain brands of cigarettes. And this comes from a marketing, and it comes from an education that comes again through the television programming and the radio programming and the educational programming of the school systems in America. And so there is a universal education that is being pushed and sentenced to black men and black women here in America and elsewhere. It's in the Caribbean. We saw the same thing when we was in Africa. You can see the same thing there in England. You can see the same thing in France. I mean, wherever you go, where your people are, there's a universal programming and education that is being taught to ill effect our people that ultimately teaches us to kill each other or mistreat one another or disrespect one another. It's a programming, a learned behavior. And so what we must discuss tonight with you, the number to call would be 646-478-4447. I'll give it again. That's 646-478-4447 for Black Power Radio. And we're going to talk about changing the educational paradigm, a new educational paradigm for the black man and black woman in America and elsewhere. What was Marcus Garvey's plan for the black man and black woman for education? What was Elijah Muhammad's plan for the black man and black woman in terms of our education? What was Minister Malcolm X's plan for education for the black man and black woman? Or Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton, what was their original plan for the black man and black woman? What was Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad? What was his plan for education, you know, and for the re-education of our people? And so we'll be joined in a few moments by our National Minister of Education, and we do have one of those in our organization, a man with a PhD and all kind of doctorates and all kind of accreditation letters. And, you know, I want to put that to rest, that everybody who joins an organization or movement such as the New Black Panther Party, that they have to come from the street, you know, what they call the lumpen proletariat, you know, background, or the street ruffian hood gangster thug background. Definitely, we got that here, of course. And some of you, that's what you want to do. You just want to fight, and you was born just to fight our enemies. And so we train you on how to fight and the proper way to fight and when the time is to fight. But we have educated men and women in the organization that work part and parcel with those that just want to fight, the warriors. Because the educators are the warriors too. They're warriors in different fields and warriors with different tactics, but they still fight and still can bust you behind. And so, bust the enemies behind. And so, the educated are here as well. And as we've shown you over the past few weeks, the businessmen and women are here too. And so for those of you with brilliant business minds, we need your expertise as well in order to establish the goals and make the program a real reality and more than just a program that we're pushing in terms of on the paper. We must have your expertise and your mind as well involved in this process. It will take all of us. It will take more than W.E.B. Du Bois and a talented 10th. It will take all of us who are able. And so we want to go ahead and usher in our brother and a man who has worked hard for several consecutive years to put together a comprehensive educational program for our people, first beginning in the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which is to be the vanguard or the spear of the shield, and then for our people, which is the buttress or the handle of the spear. Pardon me, I said that wrong. The tip of the spear, the vanguard, the New Black Panther Party is the tip, and the handle is the people. And so we want a comprehensive educational practice. We want to hear what the plans are, where we're going to go, how we're going to challenge white America's miseducation system, as Carter G. Woodson taught. So you brothers and sisters, y'all tune in and listen to our National Minister of Education, Minister James Muhammad. And then you call in at 646-478-4447, and let's get into the discussion. Brother Minister James Muhammad, welcome. Black Power. How are you, brother? Peace.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. Brother, I'm still under weather, but I thank God, I thank Allah, I thank whatever name we call him, the Creator. We call him Ra by many, but I thank God, the Creator, for giving me life and giving me strength and giving me the heart and the passion to love our people and to do what needs to be done. We say all the time, no matter what religious institution you're in, many are called, but only a few are chosen. And so you and brothers and sisters, Brother Sean, it's great to hear your voice. It's great to be alive, knowing that our enemies, their aim is our destruction. All praises due to
yeah.
Our lives.
Most definitely.
Arabic, but I'll say black power. Be the land.
Yes, sir.
People.
We're certainly glad to hear your voice. Oh, yeah, certainly. We're glad to hear your voice, brother. We know that you had been under the weather, as some of us had been, due to the changes in weather and other situations. So we're glad that you are back and that you're in motion and that you're back or black, you know, in action on your post. And certainly, you know, the brothers and sisters were praying for you and, you know, pulling for you and sending you positive light and energy. And, we, of course, we wanted you to know that we're in your corner and that, you know, we are a family. And so, Brother James, I know that you had heard the earlier introduction, and I know this is a field and an avenue that's right up your alley. And so we want to talk about a new educational paradigm and what is going on in Black America. Why are our youth so miseducated, and what's happening with our babies?
All praises to the Lord, brother. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. You know, my spiritual background, I grew up in the church like many of us, and I have accepted the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but even more so, I accepted the mission of the New Black Panther Party without knowing I accepted all the way back to college, back to 1980. And that has been the foundation by which I work, which is the Black Panther Party. Just following the work of Huey P. Newton and following the work of the Black Panthers and just excited, holding rallies and campuses. Again, when you're 19 and 20 and you're doing these things and you don't know, but you're getting results. You know, God is with you. But I just want to say we have to talk education of where we're going and what we're doing. And we don't want this to just be lip profession. This is the problem that we have, Brother Sean, that's going on all across the country. And some of it may not sound good, and I know that I'm just going to say that people are running their damn mouth about education but don't really know what they're doing with our babies. And at the same time, this is all about money. Let me say this very clearly. Seeing this is the new game, and it's really the old game. And in public schools, as long as we allow children to be in public schools, we have to be there. I remind them every day. I remind them from the White House to the Black House. I'm telling you, where I teach, I remind them. We give credit and honor and respect as the Minister of Education to the old Black Panther Party for the work they did with the breakfast program. We give honor and respect to the old Black Panther Party, the brothers and sisters, regardless of what others may think of us, and we hope that our brotherhood, our union, our strength, because we can't move forward without understanding what has happened historically. We give credit for them because every time you drive the street and you see a street crossing guard, understand this was not in the education program of America. Every time you see the breakfast program, it was not in the education program of America. We don't talk about this, but even study hall and morning study hall programs that young people go to enhance their skills, even at the hands of our enemies. We got to call it for what it is, at the hand of our enemies. And they're on an agenda, and they have a purpose. I want to talk about our agenda and purpose, but we have to understand what their agenda and purpose is. And their purpose is to make sure their children don't fall under our rule. So when you go into these business establishments and you see our babies who are smart as hell, they're smart as heck, man, they're smart. They're geniuses. Dr. Juwan Kanjufu has books called The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. I have conducted research myself, and I can bear witness to the fact that young black boys until fourth grade are geniuses. He has another book out there called Black Student Middle Class Teachers, and on that cover, black young men and black women, and then you have what happens all through the public school, which are these white European teachers. Now, they don't like to say this, but let's be real. 85-90% of the students in public schools in America, in public schools, look like us. But 85-95% of the teachers are European. They're simply holding us in place. There was an article in the Final Call a few weeks ago about staying in your place. And as long as we don't challenge this education system, as long as we accept what they're giving us and we take these crumbs from the table, then our baby's going to be in the same condition 40, 50 from years from now, Brother Sean. They're going to be in your seat. They're going to be in my seat. And our baby's going to be talking about black revolution, that we're not getting solutions to this. I don't want this to be a lip profession conversation in the short half an hour. I think it's half an hour you've given me, brother, in the short time to speak on what we should be doing and where we should be going. We're looking at a new education paradigm here. Brother Sean, is that right? Am I working within half an hour?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's talk about the new education, the paradigm shift that needs to take place. First of all, jobs are not going to solve our problem. It's a temporary fix. I never heard Dr. Khalid, I never heard Dr. Malik Zul Shabazz, I never heard Supreme Captain here in the New Black Panther Party. I've never heard anybody say don't get a job. But one of the things we've said is we have to create opportunities for ourselves. The new education paradigm shift is this. The old paradigm shift has been public schools, math, reading, writing, arithmetic. You get out of school, if you're fortunate or unfortunate, doesn't matter, maybe unfortunate, you've been miseducated, you get a high school diploma. What can you do? Well, you either go to college, join the military, go work at McDeath Burgers or Burger Killer or Murder Killer or whatever they call it, or Wendy's or any of these other fast food establishments and say, well, I want to be on my own. This is what our young people do. So they graduate from these institutions being miseducated, not knowing who they are. And they work on these jobs not knowing who they are. And things happen, and they don't understand why they're happening, why didn't they get an opportunity, because they have not experienced what our elders have experienced, and they're not getting proper educated to what's going on. Well, I call it institutional racism, white supremacy, white privilege. I know those are hard words, but we've got to be honest and real. If you're working in corporate America, you're working out here on any of our babies, even the educational system, it is based on white supremacy, institutional racism, white privilege. So Dr. Juwanza had books, had several books, one in particular called The Spirit Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. If you have children and you've never read this book, shame on you. I'm going to say it right off the bat. If you have children, even have grandchildren, and you have not read these books, they're four, he's put it in one volume, shame on you. Heard brother talk about Carter G. Woodson and W.E. Du Bois and the Talented Tenth and all those philosophies are great, but this is where we are today in making this paradigm shift. We're going to have to do something revolutionary. So one of the things I'm calling for, Brother Sean, is it's time for a national black. I want to make sure it's clear. A national black. I don't even want to call it urban. I don't want to call it any of these other names they want to put out. Diversity, no. It's a national black education summit. And it is to deal with a crisis right now in the black community. So here's what we need to deal with. First of all, we've got to deal with the fact that our babies are not being educated to leave the public schools, but we're in the public schools prepared to enter society. They're not being prepared. So how do we do that? Well, this can be done very simple. Every city where there's a Black Panther organization, every city where there's a new Black Panther organization and there's a leader, you have to get in contact with the school board. That's essential. Why? You want to take a look at the curriculum. You want to see what they put in place. I'm saying this is a basis. All it is just looking at their curriculum, getting copies of the curriculum, and see what they have in place. You want to get in contact with the PTA. You don't want to get in contact with individual school PTAs. You want to get in contact with the school board PTA and see who's heading that up and see if you can get what is their agenda. See, if we don't know what they're doing, then we become reactive and not be proactive. But we're talking about for national agenda, it's time to be proactive. And it's time to be proactive where we have to look at what can be done. So, one, every brother and sister on this line, I will say this to you. I don't care what city you're in, you need to find out what is the curriculum for the local and the state in which you live. We need to get those agendas, those curriculums. We need to find out what's on file. We need to find out if they have a what we call, I'll say African history. They're not going to call it Black history, so they'll probably call it African or African-American history program to develop a positive self-esteem in Black youth. Do have it and some don't. In Florida, they have this, but it's not being implemented, and there is no enforcement body. I'm going to say this. There's no enforcement body in the state of Florida to make teachers do this, but guess what? There's an enforcement body for ESE. There's an enforcement body to make sure when your child is suspended, they go to the right program. There's an enforcement body to make sure that your child gets the right academic curriculum for graduating, but they don't enforce the one that says there's an African-American curriculum that's required that every teacher is supposed to teach something every day, just as they put language arts, math, reading in their curriculum, in their classroom lesson plan, but there's no enforcement body, so it doesn't happen. And, of course, this is very key. So this paradigm shift we're talking about is the first thing is doing something for ourselves. So we need that. The second
is,
can we do on the short term? What can we do on a short-term basis? Well, Saturday morning, in the Jewish community, and I have had a chance to study this now, watch it over a period of time, their children, they pick them up, and they go to a church, a mosque, a synagogue, or wherever they go, and they teach them history. See what I just said? They teach them history. Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz can be a witness to this, that most of the history teachers become lawyers. Most of history and political science teachers in these universities, these Caucasians, they've come from history or political science and undergraduate programs, they become lawyers. And so even with Dr. Malik, he will be the first one to tell you that in order to be an effective lawyer, you have to draw on history. So they go back and they look at cases. Some of you know about the Dred Scott case. You may have heard this before. You may have heard that, you know, Dred Scott case, Judge Tanner said that a black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. Well, how many people have actually used that argument? And you can use that argument to deal with the issue of institutional racism, a bias, to have ever used that argument from the fact that children are getting suspended from school. So it's not a coincidence that black boys get suspended more than whites, that blacks get suspended more than whites, but yet alone we make up 90%, 85-90% of the system, but the teachers are 85-95% European, and the administrators are basically the same. So basically it's just a new form of slavery in public schools. So how many of us really understand? So we got to teach our children history on Saturday morning. That's the point I'm making. I don't care if we get them and we feed them breakfast and show them films like the Amistad or even this new film, 12 Years a Slave. We'll show them films about the Black Panther Party. What we're doing is planting seeds. See, we have to plant the seeds first. Then let me ask you, how many of us have actually said, well, let's walk these children to school? Not just your children, but these children in school. How many of us have done that? See, these are little simple things that we can do. See, I want to do the big old grandiose thing with the National Education Summit. We're going to do that and lay the agenda out. But I'm going to say this. I'm not going to lay the agenda out on this line. You know and I know that the enemy is listening. I'm going to say, and if I didn't say it before, I'll say it again like Brother Malcolm said. I'll say good evening, brothers and sisters, friends, and enemies. And we'll be a fool to know that the enemy is not listening. Because I've gotten in my car, I remember a year and a half, a couple years ago, and they were playing the tape of the conversation that we were having when we were dealing with the Trayvon Martin case. So what I'm saying is, I know you're listening, Mr. Enemy, and that's fine. That's fine. But you should be happy as hell. Gonna make me cuss out here and lose all my professional dignity. But you should be happy as hell that we're talking about doing something independent. We want to get out the welfare line. We want to get out the unemployment line. We want to let you keep your medical program. We want to get our own programs in place, and we want to do something for self. Because we know as long as you control it, and I know you're listening, as long as they control it, don't get scared, brothers and sisters. You're a Black Panther. You're a new Black Panther. You know this is what we deal with. And I'd be a fool not to recognize it. As long
Brother James,
as
let me.
You pull the string, and I want to say this, brother, because this is where we are. We've got to pull the strings ourselves. So where do we go from here? This new paradigm, Brother Sean. I'm sorry. You know, I'm so full because I didn't make the summit.
It's been a minute.
And I'm telling you, I am so full, and I'm looking at the vision. I'm looking at the books. The other thing we need to do is we need to build local libraries. We need to go buy every book we can. Every book we can, and duplicate what we can, and put in the hands of our babies.
Let me ask you this, Brother James.
I just don't want to put it all out here in the line because I.
Let me ask you.
I really wish I.
We got time. Let me ask you though. Let me ask you. Now you said in the beginning that the education system. You said it was a game. And now I want the people to know. I want the radio listening audience to know. That Brother Minister James Muhammad is not talking about something as a spectator. He is within the educational system as an educator, a teacher,
and administrator. I work as administrator in this
administration. So what I want you to tell us.
And I'm also a union organizer. I've been a union organizer for over 19 years.
And union. So I want you to tell us, Brother James, I want you to tell us about the push that you've seen within the system, direct, the push to medicate our children, to have them on psychotropic drugs and medicine, and the labeling, the games that are played with the labeling, such as ADHD and schizophrenia and all of that. Can you talk about that?
Let me start here, Brother Sean. The first thing the public school has to do, and this is their agenda. The first thing is it's all about numbers. Okay, so take it from an administrative standpoint. Every school that you have here, they allocate dollars to children. Okay, this is the game. If you maybe in Philadelphia, where the cost of living is high, they allocate $9,000 per child. In Florida, right here, it's $6,000 per child right here in our local community. So you have all these schools. There's 172 schools right here in Duval County. There's 172 schools. You have basically 12 high schools that are right in this. Here's how the game works. You enroll your child in school at an early age. You don't go to. This is why they're taking kindergarten now. You know, this kindergarten now is part of the public school program. The private kindergartens were making money. Private kindergarten programs you could set up in your home, which is something that we can still do, but guess what? You may not qualify for the voucher programs that they have set up. So what they've done is taken the money now from the state, and people who work for the state, work for the city, the children now and in public, I call them daycares. It started pre-K. Used to be pre-K was something that happened outside of the public school, but they saw an opportunity to make money. So that's part of the game. So then your child goes through pre-K. They're conditioning their mind the way they want them to go, and they go the way that they want them to go. They teach them what they want to teach them. If they want to teach them a second language, they teach them. That's fine. But by the time your child gets to grade 3, this is the craziest thing in the world. Think over this. Remember I mentioned about testing. They start testing children on their ability to write and to read from grade 1, and they monitor that, and they watch it, and they keep data from grade 2. At a certain point, when your child reaches third grade, they're either on reading level or they're not on reading level. This is where it's very important that those our Ministry of Justice and others really need to understand, our community organizers. This is where they start targeting the school-to-prison pipeline. It doesn't start when they're in 12th grade. It starts when they're in the third grade, because research has shown that when a child falls behind in reading at grade 3, in grade 4. They still have a chance, but by grade 5. So this is where it all ties in. Think over this. Your child is below reading level, and you have 10 of them that are below reading level. Well, guess what? They start projecting, and they start building prison beds based on the fact of reading scores. There's a correlation between young black males and others not being able to read and those that are in prison. This is actual fact. This is research. So what they start doing is they start building prison beds, and now it's the private prison industry who's getting in the game with Wall Street as they project how much money they're going to make on your child and my children, my grandchildren, for what they call a school-to-prison pipeline. So by the time they're in fourth grade, if they're on reading level, they keep going. But guess what? They're watching them, and they're trying to move them in a certain direction, and they watch their behavior. So when you talk about the game, it's not a game because we're dealing with people's lives here. This is why you see in fourth grade some of these boys become honorary in fifth grade. In sixth grade, you see the suspension rates grow. You start seeing by the time they're in seventh grade, you know, we call it street organizations, or they gravitate toward that which is out of what they call the main street deviant. They call them gangs, but they're not gangs. They're looking for something to identify with because they've already been castigated. They've already been cast out. So the system is not set up for our children to succeed. It's set up for them to fail. This is, I'm talking about, what happens in the urban black community. Now, the other part of this, Brother Sean, is that the white teachers, you have black teachers, and I know there are some good black teachers, but I'm going to say this. We have some black teachers who, and black administrators who make it clear, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. It's about getting paid. They're not in the public schools to teach our babies. They're in the schools to get rich. They're thinking about their retirement. They think about how much money they're going to make. So, you know, when I come along, Negroes don't want to talk to me. Because I'm, excuse my language, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to say it the way I feel it, because I'm not going with that bullshit. I'm sorry. If you're not here to teach our babies, get the hell away from me. I got teachers that won't teach black history. I have gone even as holding the role of administrator and have said, listen, you need to do something for black history. You need to do something for black history. And the whites are not going to do it. And the Negroes saying, I'm not, you know, I'm and they're not doing it because they're not qualified. So, Brother Sean, the game is this. They miseducate our babies starting all the way back to kindergarten through the public schools. They move through this system. And this is why I'm saying there has to be a major educational paradigm shift, which goes into what Ms. Farquhar has been talking about with our brother, man. Man, I can't thank Dr. Collett enough for the things that he's said and the things that our children know. And you'd be surprised how many of our babies actually know Dr. Collett and know Malcolm.
Oh, that's right. I agree.
You'd be surprised. They know them. They know Tupac. I mean, I got children. Ask yourself,
that's
how
right.
Does a child in the fourth grade identify the new and they, and guess what? They'll tell you, oh, Tupac, mama, them, they were Black Panthers. They can tell you this. I mean, that's what they say. I mean, even if they don't have all the information right, they'll tell you all of this stuff. My point to it is this. So by the time they're in the fourth grade and these medicines that you're speaking of, these psychotropic drugs, they get our children targeted for ESC. So your child can't read now in third grade. So they say, okay, maybe there's something wrong. Let's put them on this cocaine Ritalin. Your child is hyperactive. Your child is not hyperactive. There's no such damn thing. Let's be honest. I got to use the way I feel, Brother Sean, so excuse me if I'm out of my professional mode. And I'm sorry if I'm not speaking in such a way that we're taking data and research and we're looking at it away and analyzing it and looking at the statistics. I'm sorry, listen, this is just, I have to speak it the way I'm feeling it this evening because the reality is this. So they take our babies and they put them on these drugs. And then I tell them like this. It's like you're going to teach a drunk man how to drive an 18-wheeler backwards. He got a 1.0 blood level. Well, that's what our babies have. And you're sitting in the classroom, you're going to try to teach them algebra and calculus and trig. And when they don't do it and they get F's in their report cards, now you label them as a failure. And you target them to remedial programs. And so now they have remedial reading. They have remedial writing. They have remedial math. Guess what? What do you think they're going to have? They're drugged up. And some of the parents fall for this trick because here's what's happening now at the state. They're saying that if you receive state funds, AFDC, we will pay for your baby's medication. And guess what? By the way, because it's considered a liability, we're going to give you an extra $300 or $400, maybe even $500 each month as long as your baby is receiving this treatment. You know what happens. A Negro who don't have any money, don't have no hope, don't know anything about low self-esteem and inferiority complex, so yeah, my baby got this problem. No, your baby does not have the problem. The system has the problem. The curriculum in the public schools is too slow. The curriculum in the public schools is antiquated. So we talk about Booker T. Washington and W.E. Du Bois, and we talk about The Miseducation of Negro by Carter G. Woodson. Those books are on time, but they were ahead of their time because the things they're talking about doing is where we are today. So we have to look into technology. We have got to target what it is we want our babies to do. We need our babies to build, Brother Sean. This is really where my energy is in the summer. We have to teach our babies now technology, not just to buy cell phones, but to take them apart and put them back together again on Saturday mornings. Take the radios apart and put them back together again. Take transistors apart and put them back together again, and they can do this because guess what? Dead black children who are sitting in class are doing trig, doing calculus, doing all this high-level math in grades 6 and 7, but they don't have a knowledge of who they are. This is where the history comes in. So if we can tie the history to the technology and we can give them hope, then we can start talking about a government and we can talk business. So we should be teaching business as part of the education. How do we take our babies so, one, we can take them out the dope game and put them in the hope game and that they begin to make some money, and then they can start, as the brother said, they can put some honey in their pocket. Why did I say it that way? I say it that way because they're into all these things, the rhyme and the rhythm, and when we start talking that way, their eyes perk up. They go, oh. So we got to introduce, not just introduce them to entertainers and rappers and people. We have to do that. But the reality is many of our entertainers and rappers, they're part of the problem. Why? Because if you're asking a man to stay in school and he's being miseducated, and he is being miseducated, when he comes out, what do we have? Who does he blame? They're going to run around the football field for 5 years? So Brother Sean, the game is this. It's all about money. And the fact of the matter is, all the money is creating jobs for whom? For Europeans. They make up 85-90% of the teachers in public school. Where do their babies go? Have you ever asked that question? Now, I know we have some charter schools, we have some special schools, and I'm going to be honest, President Obama, I understand what you're doing, $375 million, but some of you never calculated the number. He said $375 million over 5 years. And I don't know, my mind works like this. And excuse my language, I said, this is a goddamn joke. I said, he's talking $75 million, brothers and sisters. $75 million is about a quarter of the school budget they have here in Jacksonville. And he's talking about $75 million as an initiative for black males for the whole country. I'm sorry, Mr. President, I'm sorry, no disrespect. Are you goddamn mind? Have you lost your mind? That doesn't even come close to a drop in the bucket to deal with Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Jacksonville, Miami. We're talking about somebody giving each city no more than $2 million initiative for black boys. And Negroes ran to the White House patting them on the back. No disrespect, I'm saying, because they don't know any better. A slave, I guess, when you don't have anything to do. But this is where I said, so we got to talk economics. We got to talk business because education is not free. And we got to teach the babies how to give something back. But I'm looking at the Saturday morning programs. And Dr. Malik had me start a pamphlet, which I have, and it's been ready. It's called A Black Parent Survival Guide to Public Schools. And I can release it at any time. But to be honest with you, my concern is the black parent supply, I want to change it to the black parent survival guide to get the hell out of public schools. I mean, really.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Schools. how to get our babies out of public schools and get them. They don't have to stay in school till they're 18 to graduate. We have to show them how they can graduate public schools, get these degrees at 14, 13, and 15 or even younger. You don't have to stay in school. Remember Dr. King, he graduated, I love Dr. King, but Dr. King graduated high school at 15. He was in college. How many people know that? How did he do it? Well, that's the new paradigm shift. We got to get our brothers and sisters out here being productive. They're frustrated. They're walking the streets back and forth. They're riding the trains from Philadelphia to New York. I used to see it when I went to Bridgeport, Connecticut. I used to see it in the school where we used to have what we call an alternative incarceration program that was run by the Catholic Diocese. And everybody in that program, I'm telling you, these brothers and sisters were geniuses. But guess what? They caught a case because they didn't have anyone there to mentor and guide. Don't let other people mentor. And don't let Negroes mentor and guide our babies. So mentorship, Brother Sean, that's the other part. If we can get into the schools of mentorship, well, guess what? They want you to go to fingerprinting and stuff. We have a solution. I'm not going to talk about online how you can go right around the fingerprinting issue and how you can walk right into public school today. Did you hear what I'm saying? We're not going to talk about it online. It's something that has to be done, and this must be done offline, because one thing we do, and I really don't want to give the enemy my secrets and what God has put in my heart, is that the minute they hear it, every time they hear it, they're going to take it and do something with it. Are they going to block our path and prevent us from moving forward? We're at a time now where
yes,
we have to stop thinking.
Yes, sir.
It's a game.
Yep.
It's a trap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is.
And I'm sorry, brother, but I'm still under the weather, but I really miss being with everyone in Atlanta. Brother Hashim.
No reason to apologize.
I didn't even want to leave Atlanta, but I had a chance to spend time with our chairman, Hashim Mazinga, and I can tell you, I know that everything you did that weekend, even though it was absolutely beautiful, because I had the opportunity to be there the week before. So
yes, sir.
Brother James, let's
go to the phone line. Brother and sister, number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We'll take our first caller here at area code 813-390. Your area code is 813, first three digits, 390. You're on live with Black Power Radio, National Minister of Education, Minister James Muhammad. We're talking about shifting the educational paradigm within Black America. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments, welcome, please, and Black Power.
Black Power, Power to the People. This is Brother Abdi Muhammad, Chairman, Tampa, Florida.
Black Power, Black Power.
Oh, man, beautiful. Tampa's in
brother
the house.
Brother James Muhammad, Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Power to
Black
the People.
Black Power, Brother Sean Kwali, Chief of Staff.
Black Power, my brother. How are you, sir?
I have no question. I just like to salute the doc that came on, gave me some insight on the situation about what's really going down in our public schools in America, especially here in Tampa, which we go against the same thing that he's speaking about, what happens daily in our public schools, where they're now forcing kids to be arrested in schools just to get a criminal background. And, you know, once you get arrested in school, anything you do on the school ground is a felony. So now we got these kids getting felony charges on school grounds, which lead them to the pipeline, to the prison system. So main thing, you know what I'm saying,
yep,
he was talking about that really enlightened me was the part about by just the everyday thing that we deal with in the public education system, as in when I was going to school, and how we really need to get our kids out of these public institutions, because they all institutions, just like the prison institution, the schoolhouse institution, the courthouse institution. We got to get our kids out of these institutions and put them in a Black institution where we can enlighten our kids into our Black history and our meaning and where we're supposed to be going the next 20 and 30 years. We need to set a plan for ourselves. So I salute you. Do what you're doing, Brother James. I hope you feel better. Let's get to work. Black Power. All power to the people.
Black Power. Big Brother, you're in Tampa, and I can speak on Florida law. This is very important to understand. I have to say this. We have to teach conflict resolution, but we can't re-state conflict resolution after the problem has occurred. So we got to start in elementary. For instance, one of the biggest issues, as Brother mentioned, about the felonies, the biggest thing they like to get us on is the fact that we're violent and we have fights in the school ground. And the reason that we have violence and fights in the school ground is because no one's teaching conflict resolution. So there's a parent component to this. I don't have a choice, because we need to know there's a parent component. And when we approach and deal with parents, we need to let them know, we're not even asking you to join the Black Panther Party because that's not something you're ready for, but we are talking about what you need to do to save your baby. Now, Brother mentioned down in Tampa. I just happened to know this because I was watching the news, and there's some things that's being passed in Florida. For instance, you do know, I'm going to tell you this, you do know that they passed a law in Florida right now that there are two or three people in every public school right now, teacher or administrator, there are two guns or two weapons that's being carried. Now, they passed that as a legislative law.
They say that again, Brother James.
Here in the state of Florida, it was passed as a legislative law to combat what they call terrorism and anything else. And you'll never know who these people are. There are two or three people in every school that has a loaded weapon, a gun, with them every day. You could probably figure out who it is if you worked there, based on the character and the personality. That was passed through the Florida legislature, and you didn't hear anything about it. It's the anti-terrorism law, okay? And it was passed. We don't know this because, again, we're not involved with what they call the SAC committee. That's called the Student Activity Committee, which is run by the principal of the school and people in the community. And we're not involved in the PTA. See, the PTA, you notice you don't hear a lot of people talking. They have a lot of private meetings. This is why I said we need to make our presence felt. In many of the white communities, the European communities where they have public schools, they have elevated that level of education so high, brother. I know you're in Tampa. Guess what? Those children are getting a private school education in a public school at taxpayer expense, while our children still receive a subpar education. So one of the things that we got to address, and I want to say this, this is what I was really hoping to bring to our summit in Atlanta, we have to deal with educational policy. We don't talk educational policy, and we have to talk petition. And when I'm talking policy, I'm talking the fact that we're talking a form of reparations. See, they write policy all the time, and they write legislative all the time. And since black politicians and others want to be in office, then we say this is the bill that we want pushed for the black community, and this is what we want done, and this is why. There's no reason for on a Saturday or Sunday for the schools that's in the middle of our community, and I've been to Philadelphia, New York, other places, those schools would be shut down on the weekend. Go to some of these white communities, and you'll see those schools are active. They shoot basketball in their gyms. They also have videos. They have things going on in those classrooms run by outside agencies. You go to our communities, and those schools, they have fences with barbed wire, or many of those fences around the school, and it looks just like a prison. So how do you have two communities on one side of town, they get an education, the other side, they get a miseducation, and they're treated like prisoners, and the other side, they're treated like civilized people, because we are not involved
point.
In the policy. Very important. And this is what I see as the new Black Panther. This is the paradigm shift that I see as the chairman and I talked about. We have to shift. We're not attacking, but we have to hold people accountable. And since our babies are there, and Negroes, I'm sorry I use the word Negroes like Malcolm, because they're not going to take their babies out, but we do have to set up some private institutions. But as long as they're in the public schools, then we need to make sure that we're getting the best curriculum, the best education, the best resources, and we need to make sure our babies are coming out prepared and stop what is called a school-to-prison pipeline and stop them from suspending and expelling our babies out of school. Trayvon would have been alive today, I'll say this, if we had been into a conflict resolution. He would never have been alone in a white community, but no one told him, son, you're in an area that has a history of lynching black people. What do you think going on in Sanford? Go check the history of Sanford. Native Americans, they were lynched down there in Sanford. The Trail of Tears started in Florida with the Cherokee. Some of you may not know that. That's history. The U.S. Army and others. You notice you have so many forts in Florida, Fort Wayne, Fort Myers, Fort, you know why? Because the U.S. military built them to exterminate the Native Americans, the Cherokee, which you may call the Seminoles, or either the Miami or the Calusa. That's history. And then they sent them over to Oklahoma, walking to Georgia and other places, killing them as they walk. So that also happened to us. So we have to teach history. We got to teach our babies and so they know. If they don't know the history, Trayvon, if he had known the history in Sanford, I believe he would still be alive today. But nobody taught him.
That's a heavy point. Brothers and sisters, number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We're talking live with the National Minister of Education, Minister James Muhammad. Brother James, we got some more calls if you want to take them. Eric Cord is 502-337, 502-337. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking to Brother James Muhammad, National Shift, or an international shift, a new shift in the educational paradigm. Your thoughts, your questions, concerns, comments. Come on, Black Power, welcome. All right, caller fell off. Go to the next caller here, area code 678-670. You're on live with Black Power Radio, National Minister of Education, James Muhammad, talking about a new paradigm shift for the education of the black man and black woman. Come on in with your thoughts, questions, comments. Welcome
black
to
power.
Black Power.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Black Power.
Yes.
Black Power to you.
Yes. When it comes to the white man's education machine, we have to separate ourselves. Overall, the main goal is to separate and build our own institution. But like the brother saying, until that we can get to that point, we're going to have to give our children the best we can offer at this point in time. That's going to take our people come together and organize and think tanks. Most people don't know the Congress does not run this country. Think tanks run this country. And we must, as a black nation, we must have think tanks to strategize and, you know, different strategies to tackle this beast. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is to organize ourselves in different think tanks and strategies, put it on paper and put it into work, and organize ourselves. So the basis of that is to organize into the eventual goal of complete separation, because we speak about separation, but you got different levels and degrees of separation. Yesterday, right now, today, we separated from this cracker, and he said, you know, he's not making no more food. We'll starve to death. We don't grow any food. Africa doesn't grow any food. So you got to go into the degrees of separation. So step by step, we got to start our home, like the brother's saying. But first, we got to organize ourselves and then organize the community and go from there. But that's all I got to say, brother. Black Power to you. Free the land.
Thank you, dear brother. Brother, what you're talking about is absolutely real. I would say this, a thought crossed my mind. We need to understand something. The unity of the new Black Panther Party, the unity with the Nation of Islam, the unity with the SCLC. Now, we understand they all have their way of philosophy, but they all want to change the condition of our people. We understand that the philosophy that we're following as the new Black Panther Party in education, remember, it was Honorable Elijah Muhammad who introduced this whole education idea. And remember, it was Dr. Khalid who came from, may Allah be pleased with brother, who came from the nation, and what means we're still in the nation. See, this is the other part, too. A lot of us don't understand. The Millions More Movement, the new Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, if you remember at Jenner 6, and if you remember West Virginia, those who went to West Virginia, Megan Williams, and those who went out to Texas, what? We were collaboratively working together in unity. Think over it, okay? We have many brothers and sisters out right now who are Muslims in the Nation of Islam, including myself, but guess what? Our work is right here. And so when you're talking separation, it is the same philosophy and ideology. So people like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was teaching about the new paradigm, education, new paradigms in the 21st century, and we're talking about education, the paradigm in the 21st century. We got to understand, we have multiple people. We have Dr. Umar Johnson, brother of Bennett Jackson. We have Dr. Man, we have Dr. Leonard Jeffrey. think over this. We have Dr. Malik Zul Shabazz, who's a lawyer. I mean, and then he has the Black Lawyer Organization. We have the best foundation, but we're going to have to sit down at the table, and as you said, brother, the key is organized. Now, when we organize, the enemy is going to come after us because they don't want us to organize. They don't want us to unite. And what you're talking about in agriculture, I've got to say it. Look at Tuskegee. Tuskegee made bricks. The bricks were so fine that everybody bought them. White, blacks, others, they bought bricks that Tuskegee made. It is so simple, but we got to sit down and organize. I'm thinking for our youth. You know, they have an anti-bullying program in the public schools. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it, and since I've said it, I already put it out there. I don't want to put everything we're going to look to do. There's an anti-bullying program for the new Black Panther Party. Why? Because it's a program. Who is it that's getting the most of the fights and having a problem in public school? It's our babies. It's our babies. It's our black males and our black females. So why not put a T-shirt or put a shirt on them that says, I don't support bullying or anti-bullying, or the new Black Panther Party does not support bullying, something of that nature, something creative that our babies can wear. And guess what? Then we get them on Saturday morning. And we feed them, and we teach them. See, it don't take a lot. Then they begin to build. Other thing is we're not honoring our babies with awards, and we're letting other people do this. As long as I look at the basketball game, Connecticut and Kentucky, it was a travesty. 21st century slaves. These are my brothers running up and down the court. I did it. I played football. They ran up and down the football field. When it was over, I was through. Look at these brothers. All of them are not going to make the NBA. But they are so inundated that we have not done anything for them to help them. We have to start the new Black Panther Scholarship Fund. So what? Give $200 to somebody to go to a historical black college? Maybe we have five scholarships, $2,000 each. Guess what? Our name is on it. Well, how did you get your books? Oh, the new Black Panther Party Minister of Education paid for my book. Guess what? What do we want you to do? We want you to volunteer and do maybe 40 hours of community service with us. Maybe we want you to go into the public school. These are the things that we got to start to be creative at. And it doesn't cost much, so we have to plant the seeds. We're building for something else. I'm putting out too much, but the reality is until we start to do these things, then what's going to happen is people see us always coming, we're asking. The newspaper. I think we should invest in the newspaper right now to get it out, and guess what we need to do? Everybody we give one to, we get their name, their phone number, and we make them a what? We make them an honorary member of what? The Black Power Movement. Why the Black Power Movement? Because we can teach them history. We put them on a mailing list. We put them on the email. See, this is where my mind is going. That's why I said, brothers and sisters, I really don't want to, Brother Sean, I can't help it. I'm so full. I was so excited about Atlanta, and I have not put past the enemy doing this. I'm going to say it was a viral bacteria infection. I have not put it past the enemy that I may have touched the doorknob. I don't know. And see, you know, I'm got to say it. These people are nasty like this, man. They've been engaged in biological warfare from smallpox and blankets, and you don't think that they could have dropped something on me or any of us before we got there? Oh man,
you don't put nothing past the devil, brother.
No, man.
But the question I wanted to push that question a little further before we take some more callers here. The question was the issue of separation, and of course you know we are huge proponents of separate territories of our own. You know, education of our own, politics of our own, all of that. We know this. But, okay, in the meantime, in between time, most of our people have their children in the public educational system or in grade school in the killing fields. And so what are some things right now until the institutions are established as we go to talk about institution building, as we go to talk about moving forward? What are some things that we can do right now, Brother James, to safeguard our children and safeguard our babies from some of the things that's happening?
one of the things we can do in particular right now, Dr. Malik Zubasubaz has a flyer, has a pamphlet, has a book, very small. It says what to do if you're stopped by the police. Of course, that's for our older babies. That's for high school, middle school students. Guess what? It does, Dr. Malik was given many away at one time. Maybe we take some information there and we put it on a play card, a little card, a little flyer, not a flyer, but a card, something they can keep in their wallet. And we give, and guess what? On this card, we put our contact number, our local number, and we put the number of somebody on there who can legally help us, or someone who can legally advise if our child gets, you get in trouble in school, you call us. If your mama gives permission, you call, I'm your guardian. See, that's why I said we got to get down behind closed doors. There's some things that can be done to get us in these institutions, and we can deal. So we can do that. The other thing is the mentorship. I mentioned about Saturday morning. Why do I keep mentioning Saturday morning? Saturday morning is a time where our babies from public school, they're just like, huh, I'm out. If not Saturday morning, somewhere, maybe in the afternoon, something that we can put as a venue for them. We have all these rap artists. We have all these other people. We have to feature them for free, but we got to make sure their mind is speaking the same message we're speaking. So when they go to our babies come to them, we begin to promote them. We don't want it to just be an entertainment thing and they go and that's it, they never come back. So we begin to build this. But the Saturday programs, the after-school program, whatever it is that we can do. I know many work jobs. That's why I say Saturday. It could even be a Sunday afternoon program. It don't take but a couple hours. And we're not teaching religion. What we're talking about is empowerment our people to do for self. So, those are just some of the basics. Brother Sean, another thing is, Brother Michael was printing up the T-shirts for the new Black Panther Party. But we have to think of something that we can do for our youth. Since they have Gucci out here and they have all these other brand labels, well, we have to get a brand label of something that we can give our babies. I say it's a T-shirt or something, but we have to raise the money to do it. Well, people will give us money. They give money to us all the time. But we got to invest, and we have to give them something that they can latch onto. Books. We have the Reading Club. Sister in California. I can't remember Sister's name out in California. She's writing books out there for youth. Well, we're going to have to move into online, more into the online networking, but I don't like the online networking concept simply because it's being controlled by enemies. Okay? We're going to have to develop at some point something independent that we can do. Well, like these conference calls, I think we need to have a weekly youth conference call themselves. Express yourself. See, we're talking, but where's our youth? Where's our babies? Where's our middle school and high school students telling us what they want? And that's something. So the summit that we're talking about, the educational summit, has to bring in our youth. The summer is the best time. Summer camp. We haven't even talked about summer camp. Stop sending our babies. Summer camps. Stop sending our babies to European summer camps, and they see the Europeans are doing something for them, and then their mind subconsciously says, damn, niggas ain't doing nothing for me. We can teach. How many people in this line can swim? We can teach our babies to swim. The Black Panther Swimming Program Initiative. These are the type of things that we can do. And guess what? Mama, we ask you to bring your baby, and guess what? The only thing we ask them to do is give an hour of time. We're going to teach them a little bit of black history, but we're going to teach them how to swim. We teach them how to canoe. I canoe. I can do a little bit of water rafting. Some of you may know something what they call desperation or tear, hiking. When was the last time we took our babies out and did wilderness survival, get them out of the city? When have we done that? Get camping gear. They love this stuff. They want to get out. But the thing is, get them out of the city and show them and start to teach them. But we got to build a base. So we got to build a base, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, that's the networking part. So we have to network. What about those who work on jobs, the education component? We have some people who work on jobs. They take volunteers. Guess what? The new Black Panther volunteer program preparing children for the future. Some are business people. Mike Roberts. How many young people have we asked Mike, can we take 2 weeks and have about three or four of our babies who we see as potential leaders in the public schools and have them just shadow you, have them shadow you from a business perspective. They show up where you are every day. How many of us said we show them, have them working in the counters? I'm not talking about no Burger King, McDonald's. I'm talking about the deeper side of business. Now, Brother Chairman and I have talked about this. We do want friends in all walks of life, but guess what? Some of what we need, Europeans have. So we may have to go at it another way. But our babies get those skills and they come back. See, this is what we have to start thinking. What about when our babies graduate? We're there. We'll support them. Guess what? The new Black Panther supports Brother Sean Kweli as he graduates his senior year in high school. Big banner. Guess what? And guess what we present? A $500 scholarship fund. He's obligated.
Agreed, agreed.
These are the things these are a little simple. They sound simple, but I'm telling you, these are lifelong investments. How many of our brothers and sisters would love to go out and meet some of these great movie stars, these rappers that brothers know? Guess what? We don't do it a lot. We say, listen, you're invited. We're going to pick you up, and we're going to take 8 or 9 of you, and guess what? Who you're going to get to meet? Think of this, all these rap stars out there, all the entertainers out there. But guess what? The entertainers are not making them entertainers. They're guiding them to be what? Scientists, doctors, lawyers, engineers. How many black doctors? Have we asked any black doctors to let our babies just shadow them for a day or two? We have doctors. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz has the office. Have we taken any of our youth in there to doc? You're doing cases. Can they sit in a courtroom with you? We have to teach our babies. They'll begin to learn. It's simple, but we just have to sit down and organize. And that's what the National Black Summit, I really am working. This really has to happen, brothers and sisters. It has to happen this summer, somewhere. I don't care if we have to do 2 or 3. Maybe we do a Northeast Summit. Maybe we do a West Coast Summit. Maybe we do a Southwest Summit. Maybe we do a summit in Chicago. I don't plan to tie myself down this summer working on anybody's summer school job. I don't plan to do that. And I would rather die on my post, brother. I would rather die doing this work than die in some damn hospital somewhere with somebody injecting me with needles. I'm not completely healed. I'm going to heal. I'm going to heal by the grace and mercy of God. But I would rather be out doing this. And like I said, just coming on here tonight has really inspired and encouraged me. But these are the things I wanted to bring to Atlanta and let brothers and sisters know there's hope. And we'll build.
That's what you
got to
do. That's what you got to do, brother. We're going to keep fighting on the post. You're going to fight on that post like us. And what you're saying is so, so important, brother. Just these simple steps. That especially the parents can take, because I know that a lot of parents out here feel powerless against the public school system and the labeling and them saying that the children have hyperactivity and ADHD and all kind of stuff, special education and all kind of things that are just used to classify black youth. And put them in certain categories. I want to take another call here. Your area code is 215-982. 215-982. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking to Minister James Muhammad, talking about an educational paradigm, new educational paradigm. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Mr. Sean Kweli, Mr. James Muhammad. It's a
Black Power.
Show you guys going on
Black
today.
Power, brother.
Yes, sir.
Black Power.
Yes, sir. And I'm sorry you missed the summit also with your powerful message. You know, and I heard, like, the last poets when they were saying, when the revolution comes. But until the revolution comes, right, niggas will bullshit and party. You know, and I know that we're trying to wake our people up and trying to point them in a guide them in a direction, show them a direction to go, you know, to bring about constructive change in our communities, in our lives, you know, for our people. You know, and it did seem like to me it took you a while before you got around and it was kind of steered in that direction of the independence and the separation, like what I like that part. You know, I mean, I know it's going to be a process for us to get there, but that's something that we must do. And like you were saying, we got many teachers, many scholars, many people that are able and ready and willing to teach and are doing it right now today. You know, we have New Black Panther Party headquarters that can, and I'm sure will be, an institution that'll be right there in Atlanta, Georgia, and we should be developing those all over the nation, all over the, on the international side, you know, because we can't keep, you know, depending on others to give us the education, even use them in no way, shape, or form. You know, we got to get that independence. That's what we want. We want independence. We want right for proper education for our babies and ourselves. You know, so I'm grateful for the fact that Minister Malcolm X even said that it was,
that's right, bro,
supposed to be a lawyer. You know, but his school teachers told him, why don't you go ahead on and get into construction? You know, so look, even me myself, man, I wanted to be a lawyer, but the environment, you know, and not having the guidance and you know, like the apparatus that was out there. And I'm grateful also for the minister, for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, seeing that we can separate and we can develop and we can build our own, you know, and it's that type of mentality and you know, we need to get into that and make that happen some more, you know, because our people are very intelligent, man, and, you know, and that can spread. You know, we got the information out there. Yeah, we got the new Jim Crow. We got the miseducation of the Negro. We got a whole lot of information out there on what's going on. We got our own experience in our own families, in our own communities of seeing that that's going on. But we got to make it happen. We got to make revolution change happen. You know, we got to make it happen. And I know that y'all feel the same way, you know, and y'all just let me go on, right? But
ain't no doubt about it.
I just wanted to just, you know, like what you were saying, Minister Sean, and what you were saying, Dr. Muhammad, you know, like, look, and what the brother was saying when he came on and he was talking about how we need to unite and we need to organize, and that's what we need to continue to do, separation, independence, you know, because we're able to do it, and we're going to, and that's what we, that's our program, to build our own, you know, black power.
I'll give you an example, the brother, what you're talking about is exactly what Lynch Farrakhan was talking about, the nation. He's talked about a national agenda and the raising funds, and we follow much of what I'm talking about is even the national agenda for the Millions More Movement. But I want to ask a question. Everybody in this line and somewhere in your home, you have a calendar. You have a calendar. Or you have a calendar planning book. Or you know somebody who has a calendar. And I've mentioned this before as a money raiser, is that we can put together a calendar. It doesn't even have to have a date on it. I found a way you can make a calendar, and you can use that calendar every year, flipping it over with different slogans and quotes and people for each day. All you need to do is put the month and the day. You know in February it's 28 or 29. Don't put Monday or Tuesday. You don't have to put a date in there. There's a way to do it. But guess what? That's a fundraiser. That's an investment in us. It's something we copyright. So we have to copyright and trademark. We got to copyright and trademark products as individuals to be successful, and even with our national organization, the New Black Panther Party, that we can market and sell that produce revenue for us. Many of these people who are doing the thing, these Koch brothers, these nasty, no good, low-down racists, I'm just going to call them what they are, the Koch brothers. Every time I think of them, man, I think about the style for K and the case, the Klan style for K. Guess what? They fund their other racist institutions through what? Through trademarking and copyright, what we're going to have to do. Otherwise, because nothing happens without money. Education is not free. We should be able to pay brothers to be on security. Right now, Brother Chairman, I'm not going to say what's what, but I'll say this. He shouldn't have three or four people around him all the time. He should have doggone a team around him all the time. And they should be paid as security personnel. And he's able to go out every day and speak. Same thing with Brother Sean Kwalee on this line. That's the organization and that's the education that takes place. Because, see, we take it lightly that the enemies don't know what they know. They know we're having this conversation now. Believe me, these enemies know. They have protection. Let me say this. They have protection around Abraham Foxman. You know who Abraham Foxman is, the ADL. If you don't know who he is, you need to find out. They have protection around him. They have protection around the senators. They have protection around the representatives. So we're a nation. We're a black nation. So these are the things that we got to start thinking. Thinking like this, brother. That's the paradigm shift. This ain't no small. This ain't, let me say this. This ain't no damn garden club. This ain't that. This is very serious what we're doing, this work. Same thing with Minister McHale here in Jacksonville. Brothers should have people on him 24/7, and they should be paid to be there, and we should not have to worry about money flowing. But we got to think about that. And there are others. My heart goes out. I got to say, Brother Sean, to Brother Chick Lumumba, and I've talked with him. I remember he was at the last Black Power Summit we had, not the one in the last one, but the one before that in Atlanta. I think it was 2009 or 10, and I had a chance to talk, brother. You know, we cannot let the enemy take people out like that. I don't care what they say. We can't let the enemy take people out like that. So we're going to have to get into health care and our own medical. We got brothers and sisters on this line who are nurses or somewhere in the medical profession. Why can't we hold health care clinics on Saturday? That's another thing we can offer our baby. That's the education paradigm shift. You ain't going to run over to St. Luke's or St. Vincent's or Memorial Hospital. Come on over to the new Black Panther Party health care clinic on Saturday morning, and we're going to do blood pressure. We're going to do blood checks. We're going to do heart rate. We're going to make recommendations. And in the meantime, we'll have some decency to eat while you're here. These are things that we got to start thinking about, doing. Anyway, brother, beautiful, beautiful comment, brother. Beautiful comment from my brother. Separation, that's the key.
Absolutely. And it's something that we can't be afraid of. And in 2014, I want to say that. You cannot be afraid to talk about your own educational paradigm in 2014, because the bottom line, we talked about it some in the beginning, Brother James, but the bottom line is that our people are being programmed and in this instance educated or re-educated to kill ourselves and to slaughter ourselves. Can you talk to us some, brother, about what education does to cause the genocide, how education can be misused in our community to cause us to be genocidal maniacs against each other?
Well, Brother Sean, what you're speaking on is a very important point that was understood with Booker T. Washington and W.B. Du Bois. And I can tell you there's a poem that I read, and I love it. It's a beautiful poem about Booker T. I don't agree. And they don't agree, but here it is. Remember, Booker T. Washington made it very clear. He said, well, cast down your bucket where you are. And W. Du Bois was focused on the talent and temp, the education and the scholars. The public school system right now today, they're taking on what we call the talent and temp. Everybody, let's be honest and real. We got to be honest. Everybody is not going to go to college. Everybody does not want to go to college. Everybody does not want a bachelor's, a master's, a doctorate degree. Some people, they might want to be an electrician. They might want to be a plumber. Hell, plumbers make more than most people who have bachelor's degrees. So do electricians. I just had an electrician come to my house today. He came in. He looked at the wire. He said, a service call. I thought he was a service call, $25. His service call is $75. I ain't going to tell you what I said. I said, damn, well, I had to pay it because it had an electrical problem. But these are opportunities. So what you're talking about, Brother Sean, the trap is this. We begin to see in the classism system that if I got a degree and I've been accepted in the European system, I'm one step up. A brother told me this joke. I got to say it, and it's very real. He said, what's the difference between a professor at a university and the brother who's the janitor, the maintenance man who's mopping the floor? He said, what is the difference? He said, how do white folks see him? He said, oh, white folks see the brother as a janitor, maintenance man as a nigger. Well, guess what they see the professor as? A bigger nigger. Think over that. That's a very, this is something the brother told me all the way back.
That's crazy.
In 1982. So when you talk about the fact, I mean, those words don't sound well, but listen, that's why I tell them, these degrees don't mean anything to me. The degrees are only your union ticket to get in the game to pay the bills. But the real work is, if you haven't seen the movie The Spook That Sat Out, The Spook That Sat By the Door, I think that's the name of it, right, Brother Sean? The Spook Who Sat By the Door.
Spook Who Sat By the Door. Spook Who
right.
Sat By the
you
Door,
never,
yeah.
Right.
Sam Greenlee.
Right, and that's the movie again. This is something our babies haven't seen. Guess what? Remember, he goes on to become a top agent, top this, and guess what? What ended up happening? The other blacks, there were many came against him. The point I'm saying is this. Let me make this short. The point, Brother Sean, that you're making is we have a classism system among us. Willie Lynch is not being overused. I don't think it's being used enough. We have a problem with light-skinned blacks and dark-skinned blacks. We have a problem with revolutionary blacks and conservative blacks. We got a problem with blacks who call themselves Democrats and blacks who call themselves Republicans. And they don't know any better. They're in all these Democratic Republican parties looking for something that if they were to look where we are and they're brilliant. Now, let me say this. They're brilliant. We got to admit, Barack Obama is a brilliant man. But I got to say it. He's been miseducated. He's been miseducated. He can't return to the black community, and they're not going to let him return to the black community. He has secrets and things that he knows that he come to the black community and start talking about being a revolutionary, he'll be dead overnight. He's a brilliant man. Why do you think Colin Powell didn't run? Colin Powell's no fool. He knew that if he had to run for president, not only what he knew as a general, he would be exposed and he would have to give up so much more. Now, why do I say that? Here we are. We're divided. Our brothers and sisters in the hood, they work, man. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters work. There's no such thing as a lazy black man. They're brothers and sisters who work every day. They get up, they go to labor pool. Their children see them go to labor pool. They send their children to public schools. They send their children to public schools to get an education, looking for hope. Here's the trap. Malcolm said it best, and this is the best way, Brother Sean, I can kind of round it out and sum it up. Brother Malcolm said that when you live in a poor neighborhood, you go to poor schools. You go to poor schools, you get a poor education. You get a poor education, you can only work on a poor-paying job. You can only work on a poor-paying job, you repeat the cycle over and over and over again. And so we're trapped. How do we break the cycle? Well, that's why we keep saying we must do something for ourselves. We must invest in ourselves. If there's a brother and sister, and there are brothers and sisters in this organization who we know who are geniuses, we need to pool our resources behind them and push them through. Maybe that person becomes an engineer, and he become a contractor. And as he become a contractor, then he begins to build institutions within his contracting business that create jobs for others. This is the thing that we got to do. What we see is when a brother and sister who has skills, we tend to pull them down like the crab. We tend to say they think they're better. So this whole concept of self-hate, low self-esteem, that's the biggest problem, brother. And we got to admit, we're mentally ill. Now, Mr. Farquhar mentioned about Dianetics. I thought about it. I understand what Dianetics is. It's psychology. Well, I told the brothers, I said, if you really study the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you study how to eat and live, fall of America, Savior has arrived, if you study supreme wisdom and you really, really, really live it, You don't need Dianetics. Dianetics are the ones who are not studying. Just like in our new black, in the new Black Panther Party, how many of us are really studying the manual that we have and actually living the manual that we have? If we're not, then do we really want to separate? This ain't no game. Enemy will kill us, man. I saw it in Sanford. I mean, I haven't talked about it and won't talk about it online, but I saw it. This cracker will kill you, man. He'll kill you while he's shaking your hand and smiling. Let me make it clear. This cracker will kill you while he's shaking your hand and smiling. And I saw it when we were in Sanford with the Trayvon case. And guess what? Then you got some other blacks who saying you're making it hard for us. That's what I think you're asking me. Because they want to integrate. They don't want to separate. They don't see anything, but we got to give them a reason to separate, Brother Sean. We got to give them something they can latch onto. Everybody here works for somebody, somewhere right now. And I'm not condemning. I teach in public schools to pay the bill. But, hell, I want to get out every day. I want to get out every day where I can do this work. But guess what? I still have bills. And we're not, put it like this, the bottom line is you don't leave one thing until you have something else firmly in place that we can move. So that's what Brother, our chairman, is doing. He's putting things in place so that we can move. And I thank you, Brother Chairman Hasim and Zinga for that. Brother Sean, I don't know if I answered the question.
Yes, sir, you did.
But I'll say this, there can be no black-white unity, as Malcolm said, until there's black unity. There can be no black-white unity until there's black unity. And that's real.
Yes, sir, that's the truth, brother. We got a few minutes left, black man. I want you to give the wrap-up, give the synopsis. I know we couldn't answer everything and couldn't answer all the questions in this time, but you're going to come back. Because we got so much more to talk about in terms of education and what's happening, the miseducation, the attack. I mean, we really just scratched the surface, and that's why it's important for all you brothers and sisters to continue to be tuned in to Black Power Radio as we dig further into this and not only give it a discussion, but we're going to give you some action points, more and more action points on what to do in your city, how to approach the school boards and, like the brother said, parent-teacher conferences and all that type of deal, how to get really involved to make sure that your children are safeguarded and our children are safeguarded in these educational situations or what we call the killing fields. But Brother James, give us your closing thoughts and comments here these last few minutes.
I'd be remiss not to give us some action steps, Brother Sean. First of all, I need to give my number to brothers and sisters, anybody who's interested in helping with the Ministry of Education, and I need to do that. Very important. You can call me, you can text me at area code 904-613-0729. I'm going to repeat it a couple of times so you have it. You can call, you can text the Ministry of Education. We will come to you, and we're going to come to you. 904-613-0729. We're going to come to you because we're looking at not only the National Education Summit, but regional summits, and the idea is simply this. Here's some action steps that can be taken right now. You don't have to wait. Some things you can do. We need to get curriculum information. What's happening by state? You can go to simply and sit in at the school board meeting. It is a public meeting. They have an agenda. Now, don't be shocked when you go and you see that agenda. And now I'm going to use a little bit of fantasy. You're going to say, wow, I didn't know this shit was happening. I didn't know they were planning to do this to children. Know why? Because they bet on us not going to the meeting. They have school board meetings right here in Jacksonville, 340,000 black people in a city with a million. They have a school board meeting, a room that can seat up to 500 people, and you go down and they got 25 people meeting. And they pass an agenda and making decisions about babies. This is why I mentioned about the guns. They have passed agendas through about the guns. You need to find out what is the terrorist action plan in the local schools. Now, I'm telling you something that's in place, that's been active through Homeland Security and has been active even more since the recent shooting. Then ask them, what is the terrorist action plan in the schools, or in the school where my child or my grandchild, or even if you don't have no grandchild, take somebody else's child. That's what we need to do. Adopt a child. This is adopt a child. You don't have children, brother and sister? Don't try to get in the sister's pants. Just tell the sister, listen, you got a son. I want to help him become a man. I would like to be able to have access to go up and mentor him and monitor him and to see how the school, because they're talking to you as a woman, but I want to find out how he's really doing. And you take about 5 or 6 young people and you monitor them. It's called adopt a child. You know, we might call it adopt a baby panther, whatever we want to call it. But the reality is those 5 that you work with and monitor, you work with them to make sure they're making progress. The Saturday morning program. I don't like the idea of doing things online because the enemy knows, they already know, just like we're having a conversation. But the Saturday morning program of teaching history is as simple as this. Some of you have seen these little comic books they have, or little books, what I call reading circles. Have a Saturday morning reading circle. Oh, don't want to forget this, Brother Sean. Saturday morning college preparatory program. Huh, how many do you think you're going to get out there? You'll get a lot. New Black Panthers Saturday morning college preparatory and financial aid assistance program. Now, we ain't got no money. We can show them how to fill out the forms. You learn how to fill it out. Show them how to fill it out. You show them how to follow up. We follow up and then do what we call the scholarship search. You'll get people. See, we got to give something that's going to be a hook, draw people in. I'm giving these some action steps, things that would have been talked about at the summit had I been there. But by the grace and mercy of God, here's a big one.
Got about 50 seconds. Got about 50 seconds.
Brother, I'm basically done. Here's a big one. Get the name of as many of your own family members that have children and ask if you can help them in the educational process and then start going into the schools and being the mentor or being their guardian. You act as a guardian. I'm here. And sit in the classrooms and watch and take notes and report back so we can know what to do, how to help in those cities. Simple as that. Brother Sean, thank
all
you. Right. I didn't mean to be long-winded. I said to
each
of you, I love you, Black Power. Education is our key to success. Education is our key to success. I love it. Malcolm said there can be no black-white unity until there's black unity, and the unity starts in our community. Let's start with the new Black Panther Party. Peace unto you, Black Power. Thank you, Brother Sean.
All right. Peace unto you and Black Power, my brothers, my sisters, everybody far and near. We have been tuned in to our brother, Brother Minister James Muhammad, National Minister of Education, the new Black Panther Party, and he's right. Education is the key. And to help him in this effort and help us in this effort, we ask that you go to newblackpanther.com and register with the organization or help us. You call us here at 347-903-0886, 347-903-0886 to get involved in the educational shift for our people, the new paradigm. We got a lot of work to do. It's an uphill climb, but we already have started on the journey. Be sure to tune in tonight again at 10:30. This broadcast will come back on at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time with our national chairman hosting with our brother Leonard Rowe, who is locked down right now in Georgia, friend of the great, late, great Michael Jackson, and the author of What Really Happened to Michael Jackson. The so-called Jews moved on him, and we're going to talk about that. He's calling in live from the holding cell tonight, 10:30. What really happened to Michael Jackson? What happened to him? And what we got to do to control the images that are broadcast to our people and change what's going on amongst our youth. 10:30 right here, 646-478-4447 for Black Power Radio. Stay tuned. Catch us on Twitter at New Black Panther 1 or catch me at Sean Kwali or on Facebook. I'm here. We're moving. Let's save our babies and let's get busy. Black Power for Black People. See you right here at 10:30. Black Power.